The Gemara in Chulin on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph talks about what type of meat the Jews ate in the Midbar and what changed when they entered the land of Israel. So the Torah in Parshas Re'eh, I think Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Chaf Aleph, makes a statement along the following lines. That when Klal Yisrael entered the land of Israel and they no longer lived in close proximity of the Mishkan, so it says they shall slaughter their animals, their sheep and cattle, and eat them. So what exactly does it mean? They know, who cares if they lived in close proximity of the Mishkan? And what's the connection with them slaughtering their own cattle and sheep? So Rabbi Yishmael's opinion is that when Klal Yisrael lived in the Midbar, they lived in close proximity to the Mishkan. That was just the reality. However, they were forbidden to eat basar taiva. They couldn't eat regular meat. The only time if they wanted to eat meat, that'd be chatzi l'Hashem v'chatzi l'Hachem. They'd have to offer a carbon to the Mishkan, and then they were entitled to eat its meat. But they couldn't eat meat on its own, only in conjunction with karbanos. That is Rabbi Yishmael's opinion. And then when they entered Eretz Israel, there was no longer a Mishkan. They were permitted now shchita in the regular. So there was no shchita schulin before. And when they entered Eretz Israel, no more is they didn't live in close proximity to the Mishkan, so they had to figure out the Shechita process. And Rabbi Akiva disagrees and says they were permitted to eat Basar Taiva in the Midbar. If they're always allowed to eat Basar Taiva, so what's the Chiddush here? That upon entering Eretz Yisrael, they had to do Shechita on the animals? So, according to Rabbi Yishmael, the Chiddush of the Pasuk is, and now they're allowed to slaughter for themselves and eat. According to Rabbi Akiva, they're always allowed to, but it was the manner of way they were able to do it. In the Midbar, all they needed was what they call basar nechiras, a quasi form of shechita. Some even say basar nechira meant even this meat from a dead animal. Others maintain, but it's only meat of whose animal, whose simanim was severed, albeit not in a halachic shechita. So either way, according to Rabbi Akiva, they were permitted to eat, but the change was now, instead of basar nechira, they could only eat shechita. So either way, whichever interpretation it was, but let's even go with Rabbi Akiva, but that they were permitted only basar nechira in the Midbar, and then they had to do basar, according to everyone, they needed basar shchuta. So Rabbi Yirmiyah, who is known for his interesting questions, said the following. He said, when Bnei Yisrael were permitted to eat basar nechira, so we know they were permitted to have basar nechira in the Midbar, and in Eretz Yisrael they had to do shchuta. What happened if there was leftover basar nechira? Maybe the halacha basa shchuta only applied to any new animals, but any animal that was slaughtered basa nechira are permitted to eat or not. So that was the issue, and the Gemara seems to leave it teikel sarach ion. The Gemara doesn't resolve the query, the question of Rav Yirmiyah, whether leftover meat with basa nechira was that permitted. So the question Rashi is bothered by the Rishonim, like, what's the my nafkamina? Who cares? We don't have any basar nechira left. If you do, we could start draying on the shayla. So Rashi says, no, jorish v'kabel skar. It's just an interesting shayla. It's a din in Talmud Torah, and another debate in general, warning Talmud Torah without a chakir, without a nafkamina. Is that meaningful or not? But that's the issue here on whether, you know, Eilu Eilu Divro Kim Chayim. So one shot is, you know, it's, when we learn Beis Shammai's opinion, we get Talmud Torah. So therefore, even if it's not Nogeya here, but it's Drush V'Kabo Skar. And the Rush has a different explanation. No, it's very Halach L'Maisa. Because back in Jewish history, at one point, it was permitted to eat Gvinas Akum, cheese produced by Gentiles. However, the rabbis made a gzera of Gvinas Akum, that they put certain restrictions on, even though the ingredients were 100% kosher, kind of like Bisho Akum, nevertheless, they were prohibited from eating it. So the question is, what about the cheese? So the Rush says, well, when the Gemara didn't resolve Basa Nechira, so what happens if we actually did find Basa Nechira? We have a Tzavik Daraisa or Chumra. It's a doubt on a Din Daraisa, so we have to be strict. But Gvinas Akam is only a Din Drabanan, so Tzavik Drabanan Lakua. And if one purchased a whole case of cheese that were permitted Kodem Takana, and then they permitted it, and then they had leftovers, so according to the Rush, it would be permitted. It gets into a general shy when the Chachamim made something, was it Mikan Waba only, was it Lamafreya, but they discussed regarding Rus, about different topics in Megillas Rus in terms of you know, marrying Rus. So either way, so that's the Rush. So the Rush says there is halacha l'maaseh when it comes to basa nechira safek daraisa l'chumra. When it comes to gvinas akam safek derabanan l'kua. So we're familiar with the minig Ashkenaz mishenichnas of mamate b'simcha. We take on a prohibition of eating basar v'yayin. So the Birkei Yosef raises an interesting question and gives an interesting answer. That we know during the 9 days we don't have, but obviously on Shabbos, Sudas Mitzvah, we do. So the Birkei Yosef wants to know, what about leftover meat from the 9 days? Could I have it on Sunday? Could I have it the next day from after the Siyam? So the Birkei Yosef points out, he takes it back to the Gemara in Chu and Yizayin, and says, Basa Nechira, that wasn't, because that's a Daraisa. If Gvinas Akam is only a Drabanan, the meaning of eating meat during the 9 days is even lower than Gvinas Akam. Since the Gemara never resolved or Vyermi's question, therefore you should be able to apply Savik Drabanan Lakua and eat the leftovers. In fact, that is his opinion. And some point out as well, another reason why is because we're concerned with Bitul Onig Shabbos, that if you tell me I can't eat leftovers, the concern is you won't make enough food, and therefore you'll end up being Mevatel the Mitzvah of Onig Shabbos. So don't, better to be Mako on leftovers than it is to be on the basic Chiyuv of eating on Shabbos. However, most don't assume, like the Birkei Yosef, why not? So there's a big difference between, you know, Basa Nechira, or let's say even Gvinas Akam. Like, Gvinas Akam, in other words, we have a principle that a Davish Yesh Lo Matirin, there's no Din of Bito, because why rely on Bito when it will become Mutter? So when it came to Gvinas Akam, once it became Mutter, it's never coming back. So therefore, you wouldn't, there's no other opportunity. So perhaps, so then you could say, you could be lenient, but in the case of the 9 days, now with fridges and freezers, that wait to Shabbos or wait to after the 9 days, and then you could eat it. Another point out as well, perhaps there's a difference when it comes to the Basa Nechira, that was a din in the Chefza. So therefore, that was a din in the actual object. But over here, so then you could discuss to maybe from you go from Basa Nechira to, you know, to Basa, it was Bechefza Mutter before. But when it comes to the Isser of the 9 days, or perhaps the Isser of eating cheese, it's an Isser Gavra. In other words, min haTorah, the food's mutter, the rabbis said not to eat it. So if I shouldn't eat it, so therefore maybe we shouldn't be able to be lenient. So l'maisa, the Birka Yosef, so the Birka Yosef has reasons of the Gemara and Chulin Bas and Nechira. Others say the Bitter Onig Shabbos, and as well, we assume the l'maisa, the minig is not to have leftovers from Shabbos or a Siyam or a Sudas Mitzvah during the 9 days.